how do you overcome like the interest rates right now? Like what, how do you navigate something like that?
It is what it is. I mean, we haven't had an issue due to interest rate yet. So we haven't had an issue with cash flow due to like interest rates.
I think about like the housing market, right? So right now houses are here. Interest rates went up. It's more expensive to buy a house now than it was 6 months ago when the interest rates were lower. But there are some cases where it's like, no, it still makes sense to still go buy that house. Give me the case for buying a practice right now. Welcome back to another episode of Dental Marketing Theory. I'm your host, Gary Bird. I'm the founder of SMC National, where we help you create, convert, and close more new patients so you can grow the way that you want. But you can't grow if you don't have money. And today I have Angela Baker, who's the vice president at Wintrust, and she is going to blow your mind. You are going to be very, very surprised at the default rate in the dental industry when it comes to banking. I was absolutely shocked at what she shared with us. And also, she's going to break down how the banks profile different kinds of dentists and how they think through lending money. You are going to learn a lot from this, and it's going to really help you think through how to grow, especially with these high interest rates and a lot of things going on in the economy. Stay tuned. All right, we are live, and I'm excited to have this conversation today because, to be quite frank with you, a lot of folks that are in the industry that Angela is in, they don't want to talk. They don't want to get on podcasts. They don't want to talk. And so I'm really, really excited to learn from Angela today. And so, Angela, why don't you tell me how, first of all, you got into the dental industry?
Sure. So I've been in the dental industry for 23 years, dental finance industry. And my dad was actually in dental finance. He worked for a supply company and then got into dental finance. So when I came out of college, he asked if I wanted to come work for him. I said, sure. And one thing led to another. So I started my career in optometry, ophthalmic. So I worked with the eye care practices and then moved over to dental. So I was with a company called HPSC for 3 or 4 years. And then I was with Wells Fargo, which was formerly Matsco. And at Wells Fargo, I was there for 10 years. And I ran a territory, Oklahoma, New Mexico, Colorado, and Texas, out of Chicago. And so I helped build that for them. And it was more transactional lending more than anything. When I say transactional, I mean like it's usually sole practitioners that have like one practice or whatever. And so one thing led to another, and Wintrust, which is a Chicago bank, reached out and asked if, you know, so they have this new platform. This was 8 years ago, if I wanted to come work for them. So it kind of worked out. My office is like 5 minutes down the street from my home. But for the last 8 years, I've been working with all types of dental practices, anywhere from solo practitioners to emerging groups and groups. And really, so we're local and nationwide, so we're all over the United States, but we really specialize in like the growing groups. So, you know, anywhere from 2 to 80 or 90 practices. So it just really depends on the profile. But really, like where we like to work is if we could find a group or a doctor or a dentist who like wants to partner, and we could guide them through the bank. So, you know, banking obviously wasn't as easy as it was, you know, let's say 20 years ago. And so obviously everybody has to be happy. And so if you could find someone to work with that's going to work with you and you can help guide them, then usually it's a success. So we help them grow.
Hey, got an important announcement for you. We are hosting the second annual Full Arch Advantage event where you learn to create, convert, and close more full arches so your office can grow the way that you want. This is going to be in partnership with BioHorizons, and this is our second year, but the important part is it's going to be virtual, so you don't have to fly out, buy hotels, travel with your team. You can just register and block off the days and watch virtually. And right now we have early bird pricing. It's never going to be cheaper than right now. I don't even have a discount code because it's so cheap. It's only $199 right now to register. And it's for your team. It's for your dentists. It's for your treatment coordinators, your dental assistants, and your marketing managers. And you're going to learn a ton of stuff to grow. Last year's event had a 74 NPS score, which is amazing. And the feedback was really, really good. So if you're looking at leveling up, we have a ton of new content, a ton of new automations and things that you can add to your practice to really grow. And we're going to be going over a lot around sales and executing on the phones to make sure that you can grow the way that you want. So don't miss this. Go to Full Arch Advantage right now and sign up. This price will not be around for long. That's amazing. So, and I know lending right now is a really tough sector because we have a lot of things working against us right now, right? So interest rates are super high. Dentists aren't making as much money as they used to from a profit standpoint, right? Dentists are really being squeezed financially. Cost of labor's up. Interest rates are super high. Cost of goods are up. Patients aren't buying as much because inflation is hitting them as well. So kind of, could you just break down kind of how you're seeing the market right now and where the opportunity is?
Sure. I mean, obviously, there's always a cycle. We've been through a few of them, over the last 20 years. So today's cycle, I mean, you really see more of the solo practitioners buying other solo practitioners' practices because they're competing with the PE firm. So obviously, since rates are really high, and the PE firms are usually borrowing on like a variable rate, so they're a lot higher than what a solo practitioner could get. So let's just say like the solo
Wait, wait, wait.
practitioners.
So you're saying, so right now what you're seeing is a lot of single locations buying another single location. So they're going to two locations now and they're competing against the groups. But the advantage that the group has is they have a lower interest rate on the money because they're bigger. Is that right?
Or fixed, right?
Yeah.
Exactly. So the dental business has been lending to dentists for over 4 years, and 40 years, and they have these platforms, and dentists are going to pay back, and it's not very risky. So they'll lend on a 10-year fixed rate, whereas on like these PE firms and these groups, they have 5-year variable rates. So you're correct. So you do see that some of these solo practitioners are growing because they can compete a little bit better than they were, let's say, 6 to 12 months ago.
Got it. Okay. And so what is that causing the market to do now? Like where do you see the opportunity for single, let's pick an audience. So let's say the audience that we're speaking to are like they own 3 to 10 locations. They want to grow. Their original vision was probably to get to like 50 or 100. That group. Where's the opportunity for them?
So I think that they're still they can still work with a bank for bank debt, and the advantage of that is that like banks typically are a little bit more conservative, but their rates are lower, and you do have access to capital versus going to like a capital company and PE. So I think that some of the mid-size, I would say, groups are still bankable, which is really good because they can continue to acquire.
Got it. And then how do you overcome like the interest rates right now? Like what, how do you navigate something like that?
It is what it is. I mean, we haven't had an issue due to interest rate yet.
What do you mean by that? So meaning.
So we haven't had an issue with cash flow due to like interest rates. So sometimes like when the interest rates are high, like let's say right now, like for PE firms are like 12, 13%, it's going to affect a deal because it's taking so much cash out of the deal. Like it might not cash flow appropriately. Whereas some of the bankable debt, the rate's going to be lower, so it's going to take less cash out of the deal. Plus, the buyers could pay themselves a little bit less. They don't need such a high return on the investment.
Got it. So I'm going to make less now and I'm going to make up for that later when I sell it or whatever. But now I
Right.
got my hands on the asset, so to speak.
Yeah, and can grow it usually.
Got it. Now, is it true? I've heard a lot of people that lending has gotten like really tight, like meaning not as many people are lending. Is that true? Or is that just that, it's the perception because interest rates are higher?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a perception because rates are higher. I mean, the banks are lending. You just have to be lendable and financeable in order to get the money. But if for the dental business, I mean, the banks are open for sure.
Got it. And so if someone wants to grow right now, like how would you make a case for someone if someone's listening right now and they're like, man, we kind of grew and then now we've kind of sputtered and we're thinking about buying another practice. What would be your case for like, yeah, now's a good time? And I'll use an illustration here. I think about like the housing market, right? So right now it's like houses are here, interest rates went up. It's a lot. It's more expensive to buy a house now than it was 6 months ago when the interest rates were lower. But there are some cases where it's like, no, it still makes sense to still go buy that house because you can do certain things with it. There's advantages to doing that. What, give me the case for buying a practice right now.
Sure. I mean, obviously it's different for everybody, and so like
Yeah.
you there's like three different tranches of practices. The first one is probably 500,000 in revenue or less. So that's like a tuck in or an add on. And so I think that that's pretty doable considering that you have projectable growth on that. And
Ooh,
so I would
okay.
say, oh yeah, those seem to be somewhat easy, you might not see it like year one, but you can create revenue pretty immediately on the smaller ones. And then you have like your average size acquisition, which is between like 750 and 800,000. And so usually those practices themselves are don't have a whole lot of room for growth. It depends on their capacity, but those like are the ones where pretty much those are taken off the market right away due to the amount of profit in those deals and how much you could pay themselves or the return. And then you have the larger practices, 1 million and up. And so I would say that the larger ones are probably harder to buy due to the interest rates. And so like the small ones are probably the easiest just to buy and tuck in. But it just depends on everybody's model. So, everybody's model is different, so.
Of course, but I love that. I love the way you broke that down. That really helps me understand it. And I see what you're saying. The opportunity is really in those small buys and those tuck-ins right now, because if I can add on to my building, if I can buy the little space next to me and put more operatories in, it's not a new practice, but as long as I know how to market and get those people coming through my doors, all of a sudden I can have a lot more revenue or a lot more collections coming through my office with a fixed rate loan, right? And something that's very predictable. That makes a lot of sense. And then that second tier that you said, I really like that as well. So buying those smaller practices, are those kind of practices, you said those ones get snatched up really quick?
Usually, especially if they're like a sole practitioner buying those, because typically there's a couple $100,000 in profit. They're manageable from one doctor standpoint, usually like 6 to 10 operatories at the most. And it's just like, if you're a sole practitioner, it's like easy to kind of bring that on. But those are the ones that get snatched up so much faster than the rest of them. But on the lower tier, the smaller ones, it's like these practices have been around. It's just the seller has just been kicking it, for a while. Like went from like 4 days a week to 3 days a week to 2 days a week. And so like there was a practice and there are patients. And so, I mean, the demographic might be a little bit older, but and then you have equipment, and so it's easier to buy something than build it, right? Whereas like these middle ones, it's like there's just enough profit in these deals where it's like it fits the perfect like textbook practice, and so those are like the most competitive.
Got it. Okay, that's really, really good to know. And then where do you see the market going? What do you, if you had a magic wand, you're gonna predict what the future is gonna look like. And I know there's certain things you're allowed to say and not say. I see you're already shaking your head. No, don't know.
I
But
don't know.
like,
I know. It's so
where do
hard.
you see the market? I know it is hard. We're guessing. So disclaimer, this is a guess. This isn't financial advice. This is not anything like that. But do you think the Fed's gonna continue to either raise rates or stabilize and kind of stay where we're at? And this is going to be like the 80s. My dad tells me, I was born in the 80s, but my dad tells me that he was like, when I was a kid, we bought houses at like 15% interest, and houses that are like $100,000, but their payments were humongous because interest rates just kept going up and they kind of kept it there for a long time. Do you kind of see that kind of situation going on? Or do you see them probably tapering back a little bit as they keep inflation under control?
So, I mean, they are predicting that they're going to stabilize, the Fed's going to stabilize. But I will say, you were born in the 80s. And so I hear these stories from my parents too. But like I was lending in, what was it, 2001, and we were lending to like 12 to 15% in the dental business. So it's like
Ooh.
it has sustained those high rates in the past. And so we're not even near
What was
that.
going on in 2000? So I remember, so 2001 was the, I got started in business in 2008, and that was the housing crash. 2001 was the bubble in technology, right?
I believe
the dot
so.
com
I was like
boom.
so new to business. I had no idea. These rates were high,
Okay, so that was during the dot com boom, when everything was just popping off. I think Clinton was the president at the time, and and then it all fell apart. Like all the dot coms just crumbled. So yeah, that makes sense. So we had really high interest rates then in the dental, and then they came back down. So you're thinking we're probably going to stabilize where we're at right now?
Yeah, and it'll cycle. So like even in 2008, so all the banks were lending at a pretty reasonable rate, even after the mortgage, crises or whatever you want to call it. But you saw some practices like have some issues. The practices that were having issues were more specialty practices like cosmetic and ortho, where they could wait a little bit longer in order to get the help that they needed versus like a GP practice. And so you did see that cycle. So maybe we would see that here, especially with inflation being so high and everything being so expensive. Like maybe that's kind of like the outlier of those practices. Like if that happens again, so I think it'll eventually stabilize. It's just going to take a few years.
Got it. Okay, that makes a lot of sense. And that isn't as scary as 15 or 20% interest rates. But we know you never know, right? And then so how break down for me how the banks or how you guys think through or the people that you talk to think through how to loan to a dentist. Because from my understanding, this is what I've always been told. Dentistry doesn't fail like in a normal business, right? So like if you and I, Angela, start a business of any kind, the failure rate over, if you extend it out over a long enough period, it's going to fail 90% of the time, right? So it's a very high failure rate. But in dentistry, it's the opposite, I've been told. In dentistry, for a single practice, chances of failure are like 10%. So it's really, really low compared to most businesses. So I've been told that banks love loaning to dentists because of that. First of all, is that true? What I'm saying right now, is that a true statement?
That is true. And it's okay. More like 0.002% default rate.
0.002. Okay, so you're thinking through, I'm thinking through failure rate, like, oh, I couldn't make this practice work, I'm going to sell it. You're thinking through default rate, it's like almost nothing. So it's very little. So there's very little risk. So banks are, is there any other opportunities out there like that from the bank's perspective that fail at that rate?
I think healthcare in general is pretty strong. But I think the dentistry over the years has proved itself to be very low default rate. And it's, we don't call it recession proof, we call it recession resistant.
What's the difference between those two?
Well, it says like recession proof means that like no matter what, it's going to survive. Whereas like recession resistant is like, okay, well, it's resistant. It's not proof, but you know, most of them are going to make it. The majority of them are going to make it, you know, and there could be some outliers as well. But for the most part, like they're set up with terms that no other borrowers can get. So like if you're like an auto mechanic or like somebody who sells widgets and you come to the bank, you're going to not be able to get the terms or the length of payback as like those businesses would. And so they're really, the dentists are spoiled. And so the problem is when they start growing, they don't get the same terms as they're used to getting, like on their first practice or their second practice. And so that's why they need a good banker to work with them to help them kind of guide them through the bank, because everything starts to change and you start looking at it as more like a middle market business more than anything.
Wow. Okay. That makes a lot of sense. Now, so I have so many questions now because this is spun off like in my head. So the default rate is 0.02%.
0.002%.
0.002%. So it's not even like percentage. A tenth. It's not even a percentage. It's like, right. It's like a fraction. 0.002%. Okay. So correct. Out of 100 dentists, if you loan to 100 dentists, they're probably 100 dentists are going to be fine and not default. Like that's correct. That's what we're talking about. So you would have to get into like 300, 400, 500 dentists before you get to one person defaulting. And that which is so strong. Okay. So then when you're looking at these dentists, do you look at them and go, okay, this is a pediatric dentist versus a GP dentist versus a specialist or a full arch center? Do you guys get that granular? Like, and how do you think through that?
We do. And it comes down to profitability more so than any, you know, more so than the specialty, but you look at the profitability, you look at the marketing. So the marketing plans are all really different depending on if you're a specialist or a GP. It also depends on the demographic. So there's a bunch of different things that go into it, but yeah, understanding the specialty makes a difference to the bank because you can understand the dynamics. Every specialty is different.
So, okay. So which one's better? Like which one do you, cause here's how I see it. Now I'll walk through it how I see it. So I look at GP. So your general dentistry and your pediatric as a recurring business model, meaning the patient comes in, they get hygiene, they come back every 6 months. So now you have this recurring revenue stream of people who are going to come in and they're going to have problems. Like there's things that need to be fixed and you have that and you keep building on top of that. Where when you get into like ortho, you get into implants or full arch, you're now getting more into the sales side of the business, meaning you sell one time, you sell them ortho, you sell them their implants, they buy it, they get the treatment, and then they're gone. And then you're only as good as your next sales month, right? Like, and as the economy dips, as people have less money, those types of businesses take a bigger hit than your general dentistry side. First, am I right in my assessment? And then second, how do you guys, is there any other caveats that you work through?
No, you are correct in your assessment for sure. And I mean, I hate to pick one because they're also very solid, right? So you're right. Depends on the cycle or whatnot, but like pedo, you know, pediatric dentistry is huge right now. There's always been pediatric dentistry, but the niche has really taken on. They've done a ton of marketing. They're, you know, media, you know, knows all about them. And really, you know, being a mother, like bringing a child to a pediatric dentist versus a GP is a huge difference.
Huge difference. Yeah.
Huge.
Yeah.
And so it's hard. It is hard to portray, but I mean, the minute you're in there, it's like, you can tell the difference. The kids are just so much more comfortable. And then when you add ortho to pedo, I mean, that's like a dream. So you're starting to see orthopedo platforms quite a bit. And though, yeah, you know, I would
say that is a, so the way I think of through that one is the way, the reason I love pedo and ortho together is because, and I'm a marketing guy, so I'm super biased, but you, the cost to acquire a pedo patient is actually really cheap. The cost to acquire a buying ortho patient is expensive. It's expensive. That's why, Smile Direct Club just went BK, because they really, yeah, they were one of the best marketers in ever in dental. They're up there with some of the best, but they couldn't make it work because it's hard. It's hard to acquire a customer. And then there's only one time that you're getting that money. So what I love about that combination is you can do all of your marketing through pedo, acquire customers for like $50, $100 at the time, you know, like that's higher on the scale. And then do all the pedo treatment and then send them over to ortho inside of your own organization. And it just, it works like gangbusters.
Perfect. Yeah. It really is perfect.
That's okay. Cool. So we're on the same page. So I love that.
Yeah.
So, okay. So then how do you then think through like the implant folks that are doing implants and it's all like, so let me give you a case against implants. So you are getting all, you're either doing a ton of marketing. So you're spending 10 to 20% of your total revenue on marketing, and marketing can go up and down, right? The markets change. It's very fickle, right? Or you're getting a bunch of doctor referrals. And right now, doctors are starting to do a lot of their own art. They're doing their own Invisalign, or they're doing their own implants, or they're doing their own full arch. And so GPs are kind of bringing everything under one roof. How do you guys look at that? Is that a risk potentially? Or do you guys kind of look at it and just say, hey, historically, you've done this, so we're good?
Yeah. So, I mean, obviously with like an acquisition from a banker's perspective, if like that's a practice being sold, and, you know, we kind of have to look at the buyer and be like, okay, like, how are you going to integrate yourself into this practice? Have you already been in the practice? Have you been associating in the practice? That's always a plus. But, you know, what is the training going to be like? How long is the seller going to be on? How, what is your skill set? You know, so I think it really comes down to like, you know, how financeable the practice is for you and your skill set. And so sometimes that's, as a banker, that's hard to determine. I mean, we look at curriculum vitae's, you know, the professional resume, and we talk through a lot of it, but it, you know, that it, that's probably one of the hardest scenarios that you've just given.
Okay. So that's, those are the hard ones. So you have to go through those with the fine tooth comb more so. And then do you like the GP offices that kind of do everything? Are those easier to lend to? Cause they're doing a little bit of everything. They're doing a lot of, do you actually go in and look at their full book of business and go, okay, you got GP, you got a healthy hygiene, you got clear aligners, you're getting some business from that, you're getting a lot from implants, and you're even doing some full arch. Do you look at it that way, or not really? For GP, it's more straightforward.
Well, you just don't see that profile really yet, because the sellers, just a lot of them are very conservative in nature in what they're doing. And so the buyers are the ones that are going to be going in and putting that marketing plan together, and becoming a little bit more aggressive and bringing more revenue into the practice. So it's like, okay, great. From a buyer perspective, like, I'm so happy that you're going to be able to do this. Let's see. But at least it's working today. So go in and do whatever you want, you know, type of thing. But it's like the sellers, you don't see that profile just yet that often. Unless they have to move like to a different state or something, or there's a reason. But if they're selling because they're done practicing, usually they're just, you know, the bread and butter GP practices.
Got it. Usually. Makes sense. That makes a lot of sense. Well, yeah. Awesome. Well, I learned a ton, Angela. I really, really appreciate you coming on. If someone wants to reach out to you and learn more about what you're doing, or have some questions around lending and things that they want to do in the future, what's the best way to get in touch with you?
You can reach me at abaker@wintrust.com. That's abaker@wintrust, WINTRUST.com.
Awesome. Thanks so much for coming on.
Thanks, Gary.